Well, good morning again. I don't know, a number of people were telling me the smoke this week, just kind of start playing with your throat. I've definitely been feeling that. I just love your prayers, even just feeling the vocal strength to get through all of what we could get through this morning. Again, thanks for just bringing your faith, your heart, your voice of prayer. Without it, that change of heart that Scott's talking about, that all we're left with is trying to get laws passed, unless we, as the people of God, walk in his plan, walk in what he's called us to. And that's a little bit of what we've been looking at. Just really, really fast review, looking at this idea of the body being built up towards oneness, towards maturity. God's given leaders, apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers. All this just some review from the last number of weeks of what we've been looking at in Ephesians. And really what we wanted to look at last week and today is this call on our life, not just to be built up into oneness, but also to be built up into this image of Jesus himself. And so this process that when we come to Christ, if you've come to know him, all the hindrances from relationship have been removed. All the things that kept you from being with him, they're gone. But now, there's an opportunity. There's an opportunity, and it's not just to believe and then to kind of go live your best life now. The scriptures then tell us there's this whole walk with Jesus to put off the old self and to put on the new. And so we don't walk as we used to walk. And so trying to look at this idea of understanding that now there's an option inside of you. Before you knew Jesus, there was no option. You had to walk in your fleshly, carnal ways of thinking. That's all that you had. Now that the Spirit has been given, when you believed, you get a choice. Do I want to walk in that spirit of my flesh, or do I want to walk in the spirit of the Holy Spirit? What he's called me to, his new life, this new self. And so we kind of looked at this idea that the flesh still remains. There's no amount of following Jesus, reading your Bible, praying, going to conferences, listening to Christian music, whatever it is that you go, this is kind of my thing, your flesh will still remain till the day you die. It will still bark and be loud and want its way. And in general, our flesh comes in the flesh, our fleshly way of thinking in the body, just kind of our appetites. I'd like more sleep. I'd like this. I'd like that. Just my carnal appetites, but also a fleshly way of thinking. I don't need God. I can do this on my own. I don't need to ask for his input in this area of my life. And so as we're thinking about this idea that God has called us as his people, as we work together towards oneness individually to be in this process of putting off the old man, putting off those old ways of thinking, those old ways of being, and to walk in the new. That's not automatic. That's not what every Christian wants, honestly. And that's something that we each individually need to wrestle with, is do I want to walk in this pattern that the scriptures put? It's not a putting to death of this innermost being, this place where Jesus dwells. And sometimes when you hear people talk about the flesh, it's almost like you need to like become unhuman. It's like anything physical is bad and everything spiritual is good. And that's not what we're talking about. When we say flesh, that's a word that's very broad. And scripture uses the word flesh to refer to your physical body. It uses that to refer to other animals' bodies. What we're talking about, the flesh, is the spiritual presence inside of you of this inclination away from God that remains. We can either sow towards that. We can work towards that. We can live our lives towards that, or we can sow towards the Spirit, towards this place where God dwells within us. And that's this whole discussion in Ephesians 4. So we kind of looked at this idea. What does Scripture say about the flesh? It says, do not treat your flesh nicely. Do not use the kid gloves with your flesh, because your flesh is in an all-out war against the Spirit. It's hostile to God. It's hostile to the things of God. So many times this past week, I just go, yep, there's my flesh. I don't want to do that. But Lord, what's your thoughts on this? Did that somewhat successful, somewhat unsuccessful at times. But it just keeps coming back. And so we're not going to go over all that. But what I wanted to do before we go any further is just to recognize this is an offer towards you, towards good. So many times when we think about putting the flesh to death, it's like, oh man, this is going to be a drag. It's just going to talk about this sinful body that's within us. And in a sense, it is very hard work. But there's also great reward. And I hope that you sense that to live in the flesh is that death, and it is that drag, and it is to just live in that carnality versus to sow to the Spirit, to sow towards all of what we've been celebrating this morning. And Scripture's very clear. One of the things that the flesh would love for you to be is deceived, that you can sow towards your flesh and reap good things. Somehow I'm going to do it my way, as Frank Sinatra said. I'm going to do it my way and things will go well. It will not go well, ever. Do not be deceived. Whenever Scripture says don't be deceived, what it's saying is humans are tend to be deceived in this. You tend to think I'm smarter than God. And it says do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. It may not be 2 seconds after that happens. It may not be 2 days after that happens. But at some point, it will reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. It's this idea of this long obedience. Sowing to the Spirit doesn't automatically, as we all know, just go bam, you know, I'm sparkling with stars and glittering with Jesus and everybody just sees the shining face of Moses as I walk down the street. That's not what happens. But what you do is you're sowing towards an outcome over time. You live in a sowing and reaping universe. Do you believe that? That is the way the universe is hardwired, is sowing and reaping, investing and getting return in time. It is an automatic, quick, immediate satisfaction of all things, immediately. There is no quick and easy, by and large. When you're in an emergency and there's a fire, yes, there's a quick and easy, put out the fire. In general, your life is built step of faith by step of faith by step of faith. Or step towards the flesh. It is an option. This is what I believe Jesus was speaking of in Matthew 7. Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter it by it are many. But the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. So here's a paradox of a spiritual economy. The way of the Spirit is hard. It does great against your flesh. It does great against the common consensus of what this world would say is good and right and noble. And when you think about these two ways, you've got a broad, easy path and a narrow, hard path. And sometimes I think we can think, this is one of the things that Francis Chan shared that I'd agree with. It would be really great, Lord, if I could find this third path. Isn't there a third path? Can't there just be this way where, you know, I don't have to do the super hard, crazy spiritual thing, but I'm not also like a mass murderer. I'm not Ted Bundy. Like, I'm not that bad. Can't I find this third way? And there is no third way. There's two ways. The road to destruction, that's easy. The road that is narrow. And the flesh will always follow the path of least resistance. The flesh will always follow the path of least resistance. Whatever is easy, whatever just goes, yes, it tends towards that easy path of least resistance. So this is Scripture's call towards us, as his people this morning, is let each one take care for us how we build on our life. No one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. Fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. So there's opportunity. There's an option here for you to gain reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. So you get an opportunity today, this week, in your family, in your life, in your work, all that you're doing, to build a reward towards eternity. That takes faith, just to believe, to begin that. And then to start to work towards that and to encounter the resistance, encounter the hardness of what that feels like. There's a reward. Every little time you clean behind that toilet seat that nobody notices, do you believe there's a reward? Every time you choose to do that. I have a fairly strong gag reflex in me. Certain foods make me just gag. Like, it's like, I literally cannot eat this. One of those is canned tuna fish, so that will make me gag. So this last week, my Kimberly and the kids, they went to Albuquerque, spent some time with her family. It's by myself. Kimberly tends to be the one that walks our dog every day. She's really faithful. She does that a lot. But this week, it was left to me. And I go, okay, we can walk the dog. Let's get out. Let's recreate. We'll get your legs moving. Lo and behold, the dog poops in someone else's lawn. One of the things that engage my gag reflex is the smell of that poop. And so first and foremost, I didn't even think I should have a bag ready to clean up the poop. So I'm just like, oh, great. Now this neighbor of mine thinks I'm just going to let my dog poop on your lawn and walk away. So the dog poops. We go back home. Like, everything within me, I know I'm going to be over that poop, and I'm just going to start gagging, and people are going to be like, what's wrong with that guy in the street gagging? But, Lord, I know your spirit is asking me, go clean up the poop that you just left with your dog. It's like, okay, I need to go clean up the poop. And so I go, walk over, and you're just like, oh, it's just awful. It's like, I'm just thinking, like, we don't do this for each other. We don't even clean up each other's poop like this, and I'm doing this for this dog that will never say thank you. But I will pick up the poop, and I'm gagging, and I'm just like, oh, just wanting to throw up, and bring it home, throw it away. And you go, when you say things are hard, what I'm not saying is you have to lift lots of weights, and you have to do things that are just entirely impossible for you physically. It's what makes your flesh gag. You just go, oh, I just can't do that. That's just awful. And go, okay, Lord, I know this is going to be awful. I'm going to gag, but you want me to clean up the poop. And so I'm going to go clean up the poop. And there's some reward somehow for walking with the Spirit in that. And so I just love for us to see that this is hard. There is a death that the flesh feels like. But on the other side, have you tasted and seen the Lord's goodness of walking in the Spirit? And going, there is fruit here now of love, of joy. I want to pursue and sow towards peace. I want to sow towards faithfulness and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness. To sow towards those things is hard. But these things are real that you can experience. These aren't just eternal things that you should be floating around on a cloud someday in heaven experiencing. This is meant for you to be experiencing now, present tense, as a follower of Jesus. That's your opportunity. Because it says those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified. There is a death to that flesh. But what do you gain? Do you see what you gain? And this is my conviction. The best thing that could happen to me this week, the best thing that could happen to you this week, is that God would lead us to walk in His Spirit. Can you think about anything better for your week than to be filled with love and joy and peace and patience? Even miracles, like, Lord, you somehow made the lottery. You know, I could win. It's like, yeah, but that's so temporary. The best thing for you this week would be to taste the goodness of walking in the Spirit. Do you believe that? Do you believe that that could be the most impactful, wonderful thing for you this week? I believe that for myself. So, I wanted to give us three ways Scripture would tell us, how do we deal with the flesh? How do we walk in the Spirit? We talked about this last week. I'm not going to go over this first one. The first is a renewal of the mind. This idea of letting God uproot the lies, replace them with His truth. And a lot of our soul care, a lot of TPM, a lot of different opportunities to do that. To identify those lies, mine out, and to let God replace them. The second is the flesh can be trained. It won't change its barkiness, but you can train your flesh, I believe. You can engage with it in a way that you go, you don't get to be top dog in my soul all the time. And that's the spirit that Paul had in 1 Corinthians 9. I run with a purpose in every step. I'm not shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. As we are in the span of the Olympics right now, I don't know if you enjoy watching all the different sports and all the new ones like BMX and 3-on-3 basketball. It's like, I didn't realize this. Do you know the next Olympics there's going to be flag football? It's like, had no idea. All these new things. But each athlete, what do? They go into strict training. Have you ever watched an interview of any of the Olympic athletes afterwards? They're like, I haven't eaten any refined sugar for the last 4 years. I haven't had a touch of alcohol for the last 4 years. I have been following the most regimented diet and training just to win, just to get a chance to win this medal. What if we took the same mentality, not towards our diet, which might be helpful, not towards our working out, which might be helpful, but towards our spiritual condition, to say, I am training towards a prize, towards a goal, with the same mentality of someone who goes, my, you know, percent body fat is 0.4 or whatever they have. You know, they're just so fit and they're working towards this prize. And for us to pursue that same goal. So in training the flesh, there's things that scripture would say that are helpful for us to regularly be walking in. This is optional. This isn't like you have to. This is, do you want to pursue that discipline? The first would just be fasting. And our first thought with fasting usually is food. I think it relates to all sorts of things. In the ancient world, if you think about all that they could have fasted from, it basically was just food. They couldn't be like, I'm fasting from sowing seed in the field today. Well, we are not going to eat today. We have so much more entertainment, so much more options for recreation. And just to consider, would you ever consider submitting yourself to the discipline of fasting? Whether that's a food fast, or maybe that's an entertainment fast. Maybe that's an Instagram scrolling fast. Maybe that's all sorts of things. And just to ask yourself, is what I'm fasting from, is it really building life? Is it really building spiritual connection? Is it really building a depth of commitment to Jesus? It may be that for a season, to choose to fast. What fasting does, I know if you've ever done it, I've felt the same thing. Those first pangs come and you go, I feel like I've probably done enough at this point, so we'll call it good. And just to say no, I'm not, whether it's food or other things, and go, there is life outside of this. There is deep, satisfying life in God. And I'm going to train my flesh when it gets barky to say, you're not in charge. I am submitting myself to a training that my coach has. Another would just be long times for you to be in prayer. I think we live in such an immediate gratification culture. The idea of us struggling in prayer for more than a day, more than a week, more than a month to pursue God on something, that feels like oppressive. God, you wouldn't answer my prayer like that? But there's this training of, Lord, I'm going to continue to come back to you in this. I'm going to continue to come back to you in this. It may not be an immediate answer. My flesh wants that quick, immediate answer. But I'm going to continue to walk in a prayerful disposition towards you. This phrase that I don't know if you've ever thought about this idea of watchfulness, that we're called to this watchfulness. And this is the example that God really spoke to my heart, this idea of watchfulness. We were driving back when my mom lived in Denver. We'd drive all the way back down to Denver, drive back up, spend time with her. One time it's really late. We're coming back with the kids. It's probably like 9:30. All the kids fall asleep, drive an hour and a half back up. And the whole time, Kimberly's in the passenger seat. She just can't get comfortable. She just kind of keeps tossing and turning. The whole time, she never falls asleep on the ride. We get up on the exit. We're heading towards our house. I go, what was going on? Why couldn't you fall asleep? And she said, I couldn't get comfortable. And little did she know, like at 10 o'clock at night, that she gave me the most profound spiritual insight I've ever probably had in a car like that. You can't fall asleep when you're uncomfortable. Do you realize that? Your spirit can't fall asleep when you're engaged in things that feel uncomfortable. It's once we start going, I just want what's comfortable. I just want what's easy. I just want what will make things so super simple that our spirit starts to get sleepy and we don't have that watchful countenance towards God. So the things that are making you uncomfortable today, is it arising this watchfulness in you? Lord, what are you up to? What are you doing? How might I need you? When you are uncomfortable, you cannot fall asleep. That's profound to me. So these ideas of training the flesh, doing hard things, pick up the dog poop when you want to gag. The flesh would love nothing more than the easy path. However, there's another side to that, right? Because quickly we can go, whatever is hard, therefore, must be spiritual. Like, I'm just going to become somebody that just hurts myself and makes things awful, and all day, every day, woe is me. Things are just awful, but that just must mean I'm super spiritual and super mature. That's not it. It's seeking, Lord, what is your will? What is your spirit calling in each of these? And so the last posture, have you ever had this idea and understanding that you are called to flee and to pursue? So it's the spiritual principle of training your flesh, the spiritual principle of renewing your mind, the spiritual principle of fleeing and pursuit. You cannot pursue the state of Wyoming by going south. It's impossible. And you go, but we're on a globe. And what if I have a plane? I understand. I knew you were going to think that. This isn't a globe where we're thinking of. You cannot flee from sin and pursue evil. They're one and the same. You must flee from sin and pursue God. So if we would, in our flesh, say, I'm prone to this. My flesh would love to do this. What we do is we flee, not just by saying, stop. I'm not going to do that. Stop. But what do you pursue? What do you go after? When we were in Nepal, we were sitting with a bunch of Nepali pastors. And believe it or not, even those that don't have a lot of resources struggle with greed. And so the pastors were talking about, how do we help our body of people that don't make a lot of money? Still, they'd say, how do we help them be generous? How do we help them see God's goodness? How do we help them to not be greedy? And they were talking and they bouncing ideas around, and I just said, you might just help them to pursue generosity. It's really hard to be greedy when you pursue generosity. Do you see how that works? You don't just say, I'm going to stop doing the bad. You start pursuing the good. And that's where Ephesians 4 goes, okay? It's this idea of fleeing one thing, and by fleeing, you're pursuing something else. So what does the rest of this chapter talk about? Put away falsehood, flee from speaking, whether that's just outright lying or flattery or kind of embellishing the truth, whatever it is, put away all falsehood, and then you pursue speaking the truth. Do you see? You can't speak the truth and be walking in falsehood. It's going to be one or the other. What do we flee? We flee letting the sun go down on our anger, just letting ourselves stew in whatever hurt that could be there long time. And what we pursue is, it's okay to have a quick flash, a quick season of anger, and to not sin. So you flee the stewing and the, I'm going to hold on to this and use this against you and weaponize it. And I'm going to pursue, that's okay that was hurtful, and I'm not going to choose to walk into sin in that. I'm going to flee from stealing. I'm going to pursue working hard. I'm going to pursue honest work. I'm going to pursue having something to share with others. All of these commands in the rest of Ephesians are flee and pursue. Flee uncorrupting talk, pursue words that build up, give grace. Flee grieving the spirit, pursue living for that day of redemption. Flee all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander, malice. Put it all away. Pursue kindness, tenderheartedness, forgiving each other. In your battle against your flesh, it's not just left to you to say, be stronger. Man up, woman up. Whatever it is, that pep talk that you're trying to give yourself. It's, what are you pursuing? What do you pursue? You pursue the good. You pursue God's heart, his will. that it might come. Christianity, following Jesus, is not just a set of renunciation. It's a set of walking and abiding and receiving in all of these things. What might the Spirit be calling you this week to pursue? What might the Spirit be calling you to say, I know this is really hard to not do this. Your flesh will cave into that every time. What would you pursue? What would you go after? Each of these goals that God has for your maturity, for your building up, in your standing in the gospel, in your soul, in your heart health, in your care for others, in your obedience to him, the flesh will attack every single layer of that. The flesh does not fight fair. It doesn't say if things are off limits or not. It will go after your standing. Who are you? Who are you? The flesh will speak lies, prompted by Satan, prompted by this world. And so if we are not armed, if we're not choosing daily to put to death the flesh in your standing as a dearly loved child of God, your identity, you must sow towards the Spirit in what you're thinking about. You must sow towards the Spirit in your heart health, in your soul, in your innermost being. It will be attacked towards selfish ends. Your relational care towards selfish ends, obedience to God's word towards selfish ends. And God wants in his Spirit to bring his life into each one of those. I want to finish with this poem. I had to do a all-day kind of coaching training yesterday with the Thompson School District coaches. They had some good ideas, some interesting things, but the takeaway for me, they shared this poem. And I looked up the guy that wrote it. I was like, I'm pretty sure this guy's a believer. You can kind of tell when somebody's writing something, you go, there's a sense of the Spirit and the rebirth in him. There's a guy, Dr. Kent Keith, and he wrote something called The Paradoxical Commandments. And what I love about this poem is it captures the heart of the opportunity that we can have towards sowing towards the Spirit, the good that can come, but also how stinking hard it is for you and for me to do that, because I know it is a battle every single day. And so I'll read it in The Paradoxical Commandments. People are illogical, unreasonable, and self-centered. Love them anyway. If you do good, people will accuse you of selfish ulterior motives. Do good anyway. If you are successful, you will win false friends and true enemies. Succeed anyway. The good you do today will be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. Honesty and frankness make you vulnerable. Be honest and frank anyway. The biggest men and women with the biggest ideas can be shot down by the smallest men and women with the smallest minds. Think big anyway. People favor underdogs but follow only top dogs. Fight for a few underdogs anyway. What you spend years building may be destroyed overnight. Build anyway. People really need help but may attack you if you do help them. Help people anyway. Give the world the best you have and you'll get kicked in the teeth. Give the world your best you have anyway. Sowing towards the Spirit does not guarantee a life and relationships that make things super easy. We know that. And part of the flesh would say, you probably should just stop doing that because it hurts so much. It's just, is it even worth it? And part of the battle of walking in the Spirit is to say, Lord, I need your hope. Without your promises, I am sunk. Because this is hard, and this is painful, and this hurts. But this is what you've called me to, this road as a suffering servant as you were. Without his promises, without his hope, we will not have the strength to do this. I won't. I know I won't. I have to just sit with him and let him flood my heart again. That isn't true. This isn't your destiny. I have more for you. And when you get stuck, to say, this feels really stuck, Lord. This feels really hard. But I know there's a path here that you want to walk with me, that has my good, that has your glory. This isn't a quick, easy, cheerful, cat hanging from a tree poster type of thing. This is gritty, hard, tear streaming. This feels like death. And that's the road Jesus walked. And that's what he's called us to. So as we as a body choose to pursue him, choose to pursue his life, choose to pursue his spirit, we have this posture of, I know every single one of you are fighting a battle. I'm fighting a battle. We're all in this battle against this sinful flesh. And to work to be for each other in this. Say, this is hard, I know. I know it's hard. But this is our North Star. This is what we pursue. And God says, you will reap. Do you believe the promise? You will reap. You will reap if you do not give up. Keep doing it. Keep following him. Let's pray. Lord, there's a lot that we could share about walking in your spirit, rejecting the flesh. Let's pray even right now, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be speaking. What call might you have on each of us specifically? That place where we can just rejoice in your will and what you're calling us towards. We know it feels like death. We know it feels our natural self doesn't like it. Just pray, Lord, that you would help us to unite and to walk with and abide with that call upward that you've put on our lives. Thank you, Jesus, that it's not because we're strong, disciplined people that we can do these things anyway. It's because your power that's at work within us. Lord, if it was just my will, I would have stopped a long time ago. It's because you've enlivened and you've enlarged and you've provided and you've given a fountain of life outside of me. Lord, I pray that you'd help each of us to fight for that daily, to fight for walking in your spirit, in your comfort, in your love, and that we would be a people, Lord, that we would look back and say, I can see the fruit of the Lord. I can see the fruit of his spirit marked throughout all of my life. It takes time. It didn't come overnight, but the Lord delivered. Lord, would we be so bold as to risk our lives on your promise? Would we be so bold as to put all of our trust into you? I pray in your name. Amen.